This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Some White House officials and staffers now taking a break after two members of the White House team, including Vice President Mike Pence's press secretary, tested positive for COVID-19. White House Economic Advisor Kevin Hassett telling CBS's Face the Nation he's been leery about going to work since the news came out.
It is scary to go to work. I think that I'd be a lot safer if I was sitting at home than I would be going to the West Wing, but, you know, it's a time when people have to step up and serve their country.
Pence tested negative for the illness as recently as over the weekend, so they say there's no restrictions on his schedule. Jerry Stiller has died at 92.
No, we can learn to love each other.
I already love you, Arthur.
Well, then we're halfway there.
That from his role as Arthur Spooner on King of Queens. And this is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
After numbers flattened, South Korea is now seeing a spike in coronavirus cases, many of them possibly caused by one guy, as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
A new COVID-19 cluster of infections has sprung up in the capital city of Seoul, tied to several nightclubs and bars. Health officials announced 13 additional cases on Friday that have been connected to a 29-year-old man who visited 5 nightlife venues in Seoul. Authorities say the man visited clubs and bars late last week before noticing any symptoms of the respiratory illness. He then tested positive on Wednesday. According to health officials, that one man may have come into contact with more than 1,500 people across the 5 venues over the weekend.
2 people in critical condition, at least 3 others wounded after someone opened fire on a party in Fort Worth, Texas yesterday. And police say about 600 people were at the gathering when the shooting erupted. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Funny man Jerry Stiller has died at 92. The beloved actor's son, Ben Stiller, confirming his father's death this morning on Twitter. Jerry Stiller had a long and storied career as a stand-up comedian, a TV actor, a Broadway star, and a movie actor as well. He and his wife, Ann Mara, gained fame as a comedy team back in the 60s and 70s.
Listen, Lance, I don't think we should see each other anymore.
You're afraid of the future, right, Rhonda?
Lance!
Well, you don't have to worry about that. I've provided for the future.
No!
You know what I got here? Hey, Rhonda.
What?
Feel that.
I don't want to feel it.
No, feel it. Come on.
What?
You know what that is, Rhonda?
No.
It's an insurance policy.
For what?
$25,000.
What?
Making you the beneficiary on my life.
Oh, no. Listen, Lance.
If I die, Rhonda, you get $25,000.
Look, I don't want money.
If I die by accident, it's $50,000.
What?
It's double indemnity, Rhonda. No matter how I die, you get $50,000.
But please, I don't want
if
you.
If I lose an arm, Rhonda, it's $12,500.
I don't want
your arm. An arm and a leg is $17,500.
Arm and a leg, I don't.
Two arms and one leg is $22,500.
What's the matter with you?
Two legs and one arm. It's still $22,500.
Lance, please, I don't want any money.
No matter how I die, Rhonda, you're sitting pretty.
Lance, please.
I love you.
Get up.
Jerry Stiller gaining even wider fame for his roles on Seinfeld and as Leah Remini's character's father on The King of Queens. Again, Jerry Stiller was 92. Find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I trust it was a very happy Mother's Day, all things considered, even with the social distancing and all taking place. And as America continues to, you know, deal with opening this country again and dealing with the risk and of what it means in part. In fact, I'm writing a commentary for ReactionaryTimes.com about this very thing. That there is that risk-reward element into opening up the country, and you've got, you know, governors a bit perplexed and in a bit of a tight dilemma. And as I said last week, they kind of set themselves up a bit by not even finding some sort of balance or some place to find some agreement with President Trump and really sit on that and understand that the nuance per state would vary. But yet, you know, that we would all be united in one purpose in mind, and that is to get this country open for business once again and back to work in light of all these models that are going on. And now you've got conflict going on. I mean, to the point of Dr. Birx, you know, kind of complaining about some of these models, you know, and indicting the CDC. I mean, that was, you know, quite interesting. You know, she tells off supposedly the CDC director who claims COVID-19 mortality rate inflated by as much as 25%. Okay? See, these reports really, you know, strike to our level of confidence when we want to be able to get back to work, and then we're wondering here, you know, have we been worked with this information, because the models have been all over the place. And as we spoke with, you know, with one of our guests, who I believe he has been spot on with his modeling. You know, Dr. Gerard Lomero. I mean, he's the one that told us early on, and he had predicted Donald Trump to be elected back in 2016. This guy studies numbers. He is. You know, a consummate number studier and breaking down the models. And he has repeated and said, Bill, you know, on this show many times, these models are off. And so I rely a lot on what Dr. Lomero has laid out to us, even though, you know, you say, well, Dr. Lomero, I'm all that familiar with his name. But you see, this is the problem. We don't need to be necessarily familiar with somebody's name, but we need to have some confidence in their assurance and in their credibility. You know, what is their track record in predicting models? And Dr. Lomero has been spot on time and again. And I'll take Dr. Lomero over the WHO any day. And with some of these other models that are coming out of the Imperial College, ooh, you know, the same people that gave us all these models for global change, global warming and all that, if you recall. And here they are. They live another day, and they scare the holy what have you out of us. And this is the information that Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci take to the president and convince him that we need to shut down our government. But, you know, interestingly, there were some exceptions of people that did not, like Sweden, did not shut down their economy. And they found a way to manage this and do okay, all things considered. Doesn't mean that they were free from any kind of infection. Nobody was free from, you know, the flu this year. Everybody got the flu. David, here we are. We're at a point now where 180, 190 countries have been impacted by this COVID-19. And we've got different models, different information. It is crazy making as to what's going on. And as if that's not enough, as we are trying to get this country open again for all the right reasons, as President Trump said, we have to be careful that we do not let the cure be worse than the disease. And we're pretty close to that. We're pretty close to that right now, with unemployment being where it is. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about unemployment, but it's also to talk about the landscape. How much of this change will be, will in a sense be final? How many jobs will actually be lost? How many businesses? We already have businesses right now filing bankruptcy. I mean, this has just absolutely devastated them. And, of course, sadly, a lot of these businesses are happening in, you know, small town USA. And in some communities that do not deserve it, they should never have closed down. They could have managed this. In retrospect, we look at this, but we have an incredible potential and takeaway here in this whole situation. A lot going on last week, needless to say, and particularly with the FBI, and we're going to have more conversation and, of course, guests throughout the week talking about what happened with Michael Flynn. We started out the end of the week with Sidney Powell, but the interview, which we played, was done about a day and a half before we got the news that this was going to be dropped. And it still hasn't officially been dropped, but it's clear. I'm not sure what the judge is going to be left. As Trey Gowdy says, if you don't have a prosecutor pushing it, well, it won't make sense. But to tell us more about it and the rough week that it was last week and what we're looking for into this week is Trace Gallagher from Fox News.
If you're keeping score, this week was not a high point for the FBI. First, there were documents showing what many former federal prosecutors say was compelling evidence that General Michael Flynn was set up by the FBI. And we also got thousands of pages of House Intelligence Committee interviews showing that no one in the Obama administration or associated with President Trump could point to any direct evidence of Russian collusion. And nobody could verify or corroborate information in the now infamous Steele dossier that the FBI repeatedly used to obtain warrants to surveil a member of the Trump campaign. And yet one more shoe may soon drop. U.S. Attorney John Durham's investigation into the origins of the Russia probe appears to be on the home stretch. As to whether the administration is mulling potential charges from that probe, White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany said this.
There were some very, very questionable actions that happened in this case. I do think the American people deserve answers, but I leave it to the Justice Department as to how to get those answers.
And, of course, the Democrats are going absolutely nuts, and including the former president, Barack Obama, on a telephone call that got leaked out, which is interesting because, you know, the former president was pretty good about containing leaks. Not so much in this case. Well, when you talk to 3,000 people on an open phone call, conference call, you know, word's going to get out. And it did get out in terms of, you know, the agenda and what was being talked about. But the president took grave exception to what A.G. Barr has done. They put it on Barr in terms of, you know, stopping this whole thing and saying, look, they are not going to prosecute. And, you know, quite interesting, the former president took some sort of, you know, this is the thing that you know, I think makes, you know, President Obama has consistently made President Obama, you know, so dangerous. And that is that he is so charming and influential that he can flat out lie to you and say things with just a little bit of truth and get you to believe that the whole cloth is all valid. And And this is what he was doing online. It's one thing, you know, when you have a transcript of the conversation, you hear what he says, and you say, how can he make that statement? And he always says, you know, fact is, you know, like he always says, you know, about climate change. You know, fact is, well, that's not a scientific term. I mean, when you speak of science, you have to speak in terms of its terminology, and that is the law. You know, if climate change is the law, you know, it is a proven issue, and it is beyond fact. But you don't just say fact is. But this is what he says, and people believe him because, again, he's so charming, and I say also very dangerous because of the road that he had led us on, starting from the very beginning when he talked about the transformation of America. Transforming to what, I keep asking. We've got more coming up. Stay with us.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault. A miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much. They just don't like it for whatever reason. Well, great news. You're not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry with more than 400,000 members. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. You can save a lot. Find out more. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40.
Package is started at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as $1 a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh Fashion Independent. We are Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. I am Bill Martinez, and, you know, some sad news to report. A couple passings of note. Jerry Stiller, who passed at the age of 92. The announcement came, you know, from his son, Ben Stiller. He says, I'm sad to say that my father, Jerry Stiller, passed away from natural causes. He was a great dad and grandfather and the most dedicated husband to Ann and Mira, of course, his cohort in comedy. Married for 62 years, and this is the sad news. Also, ending up last week, it was reported that, you know, many regarded him as, you know, the early king of rock, and we're talking Little Richard. And here's what the news had to say about his passing.
Richard changed the course of rock and roll history with that iconic song. He sang Tutti Frutti with raw inhibition, and it became a hit.
When I started in the business, I've never heard rock and roll music before.
The singer who inspired the evolution of rock and roll was born Richard Wayne Penniman in Macon, Georgia in 1932. Even though his roots were deeply planted in gospel music, Little Richard signed with Specialty Records in 1955 and began his incredible journey to becoming a rock and roll icon. During the 50s, Little Richard made several more hit songs, including Long Tall Sally, Good Golly Miss Molly, and Lucille.
I always felt that I would be a star.
A star he certainly was. Little Richard even landed a part in the musical comedy The Girl Can't Help It in 1956. His flamboyant persona captivated audiences, and his soulful voice paired with his piercing screams made him a household name. However, at the height of his stardom, the self-proclaimed architect of rock and roll quit the music business. He became an ordained minister and traveled across the country as an evangelist and recorded gospel music between 1959 and 1963.
I went through those different periods, but I've always loved rock and roll.
During the late 60s and 70s, Little Richard returned to the spotlight and began recording rock and roll once again. His influence on many unknown artists at the time proved to be invaluable.
You know, the Beatles was with me. They started with me. James Brown was my vocalist. Jimi Hendrix was my guitar player, 18 years old. When you're rocking
and rolling. For a period of time, Little Richard lived the wild life of a rocker, but he never lost his faith. In 1985, the 52-year-old singer was involved in a car accident in Los Angeles and thanked God for saving his life.
Everything else is secondary. To have God, oh, glory to God.
He experienced a career resurgence in the 80s after landing a coveted role in Down and Out in Beverly Hills. Then Little Richard became one of the first icons to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1986.
I'm just glad to be alive at this time. I'm glad to be in Cleveland. I'm glad that I am the originator. I'm glad that I'm the architect of rock and roll. I'm glad that God has seen fit through his mercy to let me still be here.
In 1993, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences awarded the fiery performer with the Lifetime Achievement Award. Little Richard, the showman, performed well into his twilight years.
Well, I'll tell you, if you have ever seen him, he is a show. He was a show, and thank God we have clips of, you know, his concerts from years gone by, and talk about somebody that was right there in the eye of the storm, you know, the people that he came in contact with and that were a part of his legacy, you know, guys like Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles. I mean, it is, it was endless, but that just speaks of, you know, the incredible force that Little Richard was on the music scene, and then later on becoming a pastor and realizing that part of his legacy had to be, you know, the spiritual side of Little Richard, which was surprising for some people. But here's somebody, you know, like a blind man that can talk about, hey, this is, as I say, I was, I am. This is who Richard was before. and who he became as a result of his relationship with Christ. Absolutely incredible story. Rest in peace, Little Richard. You know, it was a little sad to hear that story as well. Getting back to the issues of the FBI, and as we've been saying on the show, is get ready. You know, there are more shoes to drop, and I think this is why the panic that you hear from former President Obama, as Sidney Powell said last week, you know, boy, it looks like, you know, all the shenanigans, this attempted coup on a duly elected president had to go all the way into the Oval Office. There's just no escaping it. And all these stories now that you're hearing, you know, whether it's for Clapper or Brennan, how they're now, you know, making sure that what they said on the record when they had taken an oath and promised to tell the whole truth and nothing but, a little bit different than the commentary that they use so freely on CNN, as you start to reconcile the documentation and some of these, you know, unredacted reports and transcripts of statements that were made when they were before Congress. They knew they had to be very careful about what they said. Otherwise, they were going to end up and putting themselves in jeopardy. But this is what John Solomon had to say about, you know, the next shoes to drop, thank you very much, because of Special Inspector Durham.
Listen, it's really clear that the Flynn investigation from the start was not an investigation of a crime. It was an investigation seeking to create a crime. And I had an interview today with Kevin Brock, who created the intelligence rules for the FBI. He said that the FBI failed to meet the standard for opening the case, for interviewing Flynn, and for bringing the charges. Three strikes, you're out. And, you know, when I read these documents, I was in disbelief.
It's John Solomon there in, you know, as he's continued to pursue this. I mean, he's been on a steady pursuit of the truth on behalf of the American people, you know, for what, 3+ years. And as he continues to find these loose strings and pulling on them as much as you can through all the redaction that has taken place and all the, you know, as we would say, the butt covering by these, you know, political operatives. But, you know, it really is aggravating because you think back on, you know, the lies that were perpetrated on the American people in a cooperative with the mainstream media, CNN, I mean, every night, and Rachel Maddow, and, oh, you know, and Adam Schiff, that, you know, he had the facts, and, you know, President Trump was going to be perp walking right out of the Oval Office, and, you know, all the disgusting things that went on, and Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi, even the former president, things that he said about Donald Trump, and it's all one big humongous lie. And, oh, yes, oh, by the way, it cost us over $70 million of the people's money and counting. And they talk about $30 million just for the Mueller investigation, which was an absolute hoax. And they knew early on that there was nothing there, but they were committed to this, as they were committed to, you know, going after Flynn. And what is coming out now is that, you know, they wanted Flynn out of there. They saw him. And, of course, you know, President Obama had already fired Flynn. He didn't like him because Flynn was holding, you know, the administration to account and saying, wait a minute, you can't do these things. And, of course, you know, the early out, and I get it. I mean, I've had several conversations with people who just, you know, hate Trump. And, you know, they think this whole situation with Flynn is that he got off scot-free. And you go, how do you figure that he got off scot-free? I mean, what his family's gone through, the loss of income, the loss of, you know, his own legacy and reputation for what they did to him in pursuing him, and they knew that they didn't have him, but no, you know, Peter Strzok was the one who says, wait a minute, no, don't cancel it. We still have to pursue this. And they were able to wrangle out one of the three options that they wrote down beforehand that they wanted to do. They wanted to take him out. They wanted to get him out of the way, and they did, with this premise that he supposedly, that he had lied. And even the FBI investigator had said that there was no lie there. But, you know, they pushed the measure, and they hotboxed him and said, look, if you don't agree with this, then we're going after your son. And that's clear. And we knew that early on as well. So this is one big ruse that the American people have had to put up with that has compromised the effectiveness of Donald Trump's administration, sadly. And again, it's we the people paying the price for it.
mortgage rates are at historic lows, and this is our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever. And now your direct lender, Network Capital Funding, is offering mortgage rates at historic lows. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible! Plus, there's no lender origination fees or discount points. This is the best it's ever been. And now you have Network Capital Funding on your side, saving you money and time with their uniquely fast, simple, and secure process. These are our best rates ever. So call now to save. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding. 800-500, the number one, HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. It's a grand slam to your best savings ever on your new mortgage or refi. That's 800-500-1-HIT or 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law. Number 603-D77. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Some White House officials and staffers now taking a break after two members of the White House team, including Vice President Mike Pence's press secretary, tested positive for COVID-19. White House Economic Advisor Kevin Hassett telling CBS's Face the Nation he's been leery about going to work since the news came out.
It is scary to go to work. I think that I'd be a lot safer if I was sitting at home than I would be going to the West Wing. But, you know, it's a time when people have to step up and serve their country.
Pence tested negative for the illness as recently as over the weekend, so they say there's no restrictions on his schedule. Jerry Stiller has died at 92.
No, we could learn to love each other.
I already love you, Arthur.
Well, then we're halfway there.
That from his role as Arthur Spooner on King of Queens. And this is USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun owner population guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, that's our mission objective, ladies and gentlemen, but it requires all parties, we the people, to be involved in getting this country back on track as we continue to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Brigadier General Robert Spalding is going to be joining us. The general is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, focusing on U.S.-China relations, economic national security, and the Asia-Pacific military balance. So you got to know we've got a lot to discuss there. He's also author of the book Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. General, welcome to the show. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Well, before we get into China, I wanted to get your read on a couple of things. Of course, the breaking news that came out regarding Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. What happened to him? And I've got to imagine, as a fellow general, if you can, without violating any rules of engagement outside and in the public square, what's your impression of what's happened to the general and where we are right now?
So, I actually kind of thought a little bit about this, and you need to express how dangerous what happened to our democracy with what occurred with Lieutenant General Flynn. So I'll take you back to a guy named Meng Hongwei. Meng Hongwei was the president, the chief guy at Interpol, the international police organization, the organization that issues red notices. He was a Chinese Communist Party member that had essentially got to the top level of Interpol. He was asked to come back to China by the Chinese Communist Party, where he was abducted. Nobody at Interpol knew where he was. Of course, now he is locked away. So it was there was no due process. It was extrajudicial abduction, and essentially nobody knows where he is, and we probably will never see him again. If you use that as just kind of an analogy of what happened with Flynn, without the text messages and without the handwritten notes that we've been able to get because of due process and disclosure, which the FBI was basically failing to comply with, we know that a similar process was happening here in the United States with regard to Lieutenant General Flynn. So democracy dies without sunlight. If we don't have transparency in this country, then we've got a big problem. And what you're going to see, if we don't have transparency into the actions of the FBI and the Department of Justice, which continually does these things without, you know, really having to give their documents up for public viewing, mm-hmm. then we have effectively a police state. And so this is very dangerous. And I think, you know, now that, our Constitution has really been protected by the fact that, you know, the judicial system was forced to actually comply. And in this case, Attorney General Barr actually is the one that ends up being the guy that's really promoting democratic principles, because he's following the Constitution. He appointed an independent investigator. That independent investigator dug up documents that were going to be kept private from the American people, and they were revealed. And that's where we are today. We're, you know, democracy is restored. Our republic is preserved. You know, we go through these things. We had J. Edgar Hoover was the same kind of issue. So it's a very important lesson for everybody about how, sunlight really is necessary to preserve a democracy.
Exactly. Well, General, I just wonder if the people realized how close we were to we were on the brink of a constitutional crisis here. And but for, you know, this information that was there, and that some FBI participants did, in fact, follow the rules in terms of documentation. If we didn't have that, and it took so long to even get that. That's what concerns me. We're so close that hopefully realizing that we were so close to the brink, and that we're looking down to the valley of where America could have fallen, maybe it shudders the American people enough to say, we can't go there. We have really got to do something, because as we discussed previously with another guest, General, in the 1970s early was when, all this problem with the FBI and J. Edgar's FBI came out, and the corruption was so rampant, and, they got bruised up a little bit, but nobody, according to Sidney Powell, nobody went to jail, and because there wasn't, clear consequences on it, they lived another day, and now here we are fighting a more complex but yet very stealthy attack on our Constitution.
Well, I've never been a supporter of FISA. I don't think it's required, and I actually think it's quite dangerous in our society to be able to listen to what Americans are doing and not to have, a sense of due process. I don't think that the federal government ought to have an insight into our lives without having to go through a warrant and then, going through the old process of you get a warrant, you have probable cause, you plant bugs, then you start collecting information. This digital world we've created, which allows you to basically put everybody's life on DVR and hit replay, is not healthy for democracy. And I think, one of the things that when I was at the White House that I tried to explain is when we allow for the surveillance, the continuous surveillance of our population through these networks, then that allows not only our own federal government, as we've seen with Lieutenant General Flynn, but governments like the Chinese Communist Party and the Russians to begin to influence our society to abandon our democratic principles. That is what's going on. That is why you see a rising you know, affection for socialism and communism in the United States, because these networks have been infiltrated by these state actors, and we really need to lock things down and really protect Americans' data. I think that's so important for preserving our republic going forward that we have an encrypted, secure internet for the American people.
Well, you mentioned the leadership of AG Bill Barr. No doubt about it. He turned over the assignment to U.S. Attorney Jeff Jensen. The Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, have attacked AG Barr and saying, well, he's the president's man. He's not doing, you know, the people's bidding. But in actuality, he is doing the people's bidding, because he did assign this this look-see into what was going on with the FBI with a 10-year FBI vet, 10-year career prosecutor in Jeff Jensen. And Jensen came back and says, this holds no water. And he presents his case to the attorney general, and the attorney general says, thank you very much. We know what to do. We'll take it from here. But lest anybody forget, it was Jeff Jensen's research and hard work that brought this all to the front, combined with the efforts of, you know, one Sidney Powell and others who came and said, look, here's some discovery. I mean, it's been like pulling teeth here, but we've got some information, and he pulled it together. And unlike what happened in the previous report from Horowitz, and I said all along, General, Horowitz is compromising as much. He's a company guy. He's afraid to, you know, tilt the institution and disturb the status quo. And so he came back with a report that it wasn't surprising. I mean, there were things revealing and some redacted issues there, but we're starting to connect the dots in such a way that even though he couldn't say it, there's evidence even within that report that's quite revealing.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that I've come to realize is that there's this war going on in the United States between the working class and the elites. And the elites have basically seized the levers of power, and they've begun to move the country in ways that are counter to the interests of the working class. And if it wasn't for the working class, and, oh, by the way, the Constitution that gives them a voice,
yes,
really, to create the kind of change that we have going on now in Washington, D.C., we'd be in a very bad place. Now, people think that somehow the FBI is independent, you know, the Attorney General is independent of the President. No. The federal government, the executive branch, everybody works for the president, and the president works for the people. That's why every 4 years, the only national referendum we have for that one person that occupies that one office, so every single department and agency, so he is the chief diplomat, he is the commander-in-chief of the military, he is the chief law enforcement officer, so the fact that people think that, no, the DOJ and FBI shouldn't be accountable to the president, what you're talking about there is the Gestapo.
Exactly.
The police state.
We've got to go to break, and we've got more from the Brigadier General after this. Stay with us, 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
Here's Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
Around the globe, people are facing incredible hardship due to the coronavirus pandemic, but some in Pakistan have encountered even greater difficulties because of their faith in Jesus. The Tide Gospel Radio Ministry recently began broadcasting in two languages in Pakistan, which has been an exciting development. But unfortunately, we hear that Pakistan Christians have been denied aid during the COVID-19 crisis. International Christian Concern reports that 100 families were turned away from a village food distribution point last month because they were Christian. Independent Catholic News reported that Christians in Karachi say minority faith groups were denied food vouchers. Please pray for these marginalized Christians.
To learn more about how the Tide International Radio Ministry is bringing hope and encouragement to listeners in two new languages in Pakistan, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio
help to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, you think it's easy being me, huh? Oh, just for fun, I'm telling you. But I got to tell you, I'm having the time of my life bringing the truth to you every day. Not in 8-second sound bites. And, you know, we're fortunate to have experts like Brigadier General Robert Spalding coming on the air and being able to get in depth on these topics that you need to know about. So, you know, when you're sharing information with your family and your friends and neighbors, you know what you're talking about, that you don't have the depth of, you know, an 8-second sound bite or a bumper sticker, as they say. The general is the author of the book Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. We are going to address that issue in just a moment because, you know, the big question people are wondering about is China preparing for war? But before we get there, let's go back 75 years, General, and we're celebrating, you know, VE Day. What a memorial day, you know, to look back on, to see the celebration. Certainly they weren't COVID sensitive. People were hugging and kissing, and there was no 6 feet of separation. The people were happy to come together in the name of freedom, peace, and liberty.
Well, yeah, and it's a tremendous accomplishment by the you know, our country's greatest generation. But I'll tell you, it was not the end. It was merely the beginning, because just within a few years, we're faced with the threat. You know, the Iron Curtain coming down speech that was that Winston Churchill made in St. Louis, and the requirement of democracies everywhere to come together and fight. You know, for 70 years, the Soviet threat that really imperiled the entire world. I think what's happening today, it very much mirrors those times, as we realize the Chinese Communist Party actually is a bigger existential threat to democracy as it seeks to undermine societies from within. And it's a time to reflect on DE Day and realize that we and our allies came together. We aligned economically, financially, our trade, our information, and our militaries to protect democracy everywhere. And I think that's something that we're going to have to do again.
Well, our foreign policy agents have to ask the critical question in any of these alliances that are set up going forward, and that is, are you friend or foe? I mean, let's go back to the spaghetti westerns, right? When we were kids growing up, that was the first question you asked the guy in the dark hat, you know, are you friend or foe? And are you going to add to the proposition of liberty? Is there going to be a level playing field? And this is what Donald Trump has brought to the table here. And what's being exposed, especially with the CCP, is that they're probably much more dangerous than we realize, that their worldview is such that it's all for them. Because I think at the end of the day, what we're realizing with this COVID-19 release, initially some people, and me included, thought that this was clearly diabolical, that it could have been a military reaction. I mean, all the possibilities were on the table. But you can tell by their actions that at the end of the day, even though it may have started, you may give them the benefit of the doubt and say it was a mistake or an error, but clearly their actions afterwards made it quite intentional that they didn't want to take the total hit upon their economy for what they did, and they allowed it, knowing they allowed this virus to be released on the entire world, the entire planet. And that was intentional, and that's something that I cannot get out of my craw. It just seems too obvious.
Well, it is obvious. You know, I was the senior defense official in Beijing in 2016 when they took the EUV, and I got to witness Xi Jinping, being in control of that crisis and potential confrontation with the United States and having direct control at the ship captain level of the PLA. So he's redesigned command and control within the Chinese Communist Party and PLA. So when he says, and he has said, that he was in control of the Wuhan virus on the 7th of January, he was in control. And so all of those 5 million people that left Wuhan, he allowed it. The fact that they went from net exporter of PPE and masks to a net importer of PPE and masks during the same time means they knew that there was human transmission, that he directed that those flights go internationally but not domestically. So they ceased domestic flights within China. And then in 23 January, they locked it down. And they put pressure on the World Health Organization to continue to say there's not a problem here. So, you know, if you look at New York, you know, the president, President Trump, closed travel to from Wuhan on the 30th, I believe. But what happened was he didn't close it from Europe.
Europe,
so
yeah, exactly.
Those people from when Wuhan went into Europe and Europe infected the east coast of the United States.
Do you think the political pressure because of him closing flights from China was so intense, but that the president, my sense was that President Trump wanted to close all travel, including Europe, but the pushback, from the politicos in the Beltway said, look at, you're going to already be in so much trouble for closing down flights from China. Are you willing to deal with the European side as well? Because for some reason, it just seemed like a compromise and a little bit out of character that I think that if he had it his way, he would have shut down all air travel in and out of the United States.
Yeah, so if you look at, so if you contrast the way we reacted to what was going on in China to the way Taiwan reacted, just as an example. So Taiwan heard about what was going on in China. They sent their own researchers to Wuhan to ask questions. They came back and they said, we think that there's human-to-human transmission. So on 1 January, Taiwan began boarding planes from Wuhan and checking everybody on the plane, and then they shut down air travel shortly thereafter. On the 31st of December, they had sent a letter to WHO telling them that. What was happening was instead of the CDC doing their own independent investigation and making sure that, you know, what the WHO was telling them was correct, like Taiwan did, they basically took the WHO's line. So there's got to be some question with regard to this, our CDC's relationship to the World Health Organization and the reason they were putting this pressure on the president not to close everything down. If we had acted like Taiwan, basically, I think they've had 5 deaths so far.
Exactly.
The number,
right.
But
no, it's minimal.
We've had tens of thousands. That was because the CDC listened to the World Health Organization and did not do their own investigation like the Taiwan CDC did to protect their people.
And we had the information. We had scientists there under Dr. Fauci, up to 2018, that were involved with the Wuhan lab. They left and said, this is dangerous. These guys are out of control. Their standards are very reckless, and we're out of here. Well, I mean, if that didn't throw a red flag all over it, I mean, what other information did we have? And then my question has been all along, like, we didn't know that they were buying up all the PPEs. They were buying up ventilators. You know, where was our State Department? Where is the information? I mean, we have everyday people's phone messages being listened to. You mean to tell me we don't know what the CCP is doing?
Well, you have to understand that in order for you to anticipate what the Chinese Communist Party is doing, you have to think like they do. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, our intelligence community hasn't realized that, you know, the way that they go to war is by going to war every single day.
Yes.
So we think about war as you have a crisis, you have a confrontation, you basically rally the military, and then you have a fight. No, their war is every single day, day by day, and we should have been paying attention to the fact that, you know, how are they going to seek to take advantage of this epidemic? The way they think. Mm-hmm.
And they've been taking advantage of America from day one. I mean, we've seen what's been developed, these military islands there in the South China Sea, and now they're claiming some sort of sovereignty and trying to keep other boats in the United States away from this land that they've declared and planted the flag on for themselves.
Well, I mean, and, you know, to add insult to injury, those islands were paid for by America's retirement fund because the China Communication Construction Corporation, you know, our retirement funds have been investing in that company, both in the bonds and the stocks. So this is a challenge that we have for our country. We don't understand how the game is played. You know, we're playing checkers and the Chinese are playing go. That's the bottom line.
Exactly. The other thing that I'm concerned about, General, is that in you know, the big question that you put out is China preparing for war. And what you're saying today, they're already at war. We're just not even up to speed with them, number one. Number two is that, with all this pressure coming from the Beltway and saying, look, we need to hold China accountable for the release of COVID-19, are we going to revisit similar scenarios we did going into World War II with Japan and also with Germany?
No, I think, you know, our goal should be on focusing, you know, the competition in the areas that they're currently in economics and finance and trade and information, and then using our military to deter conflict at the higher level, at the kinetic level. So, you know, our nuclear forces are very important with that. You know, the other thing that the president just did in August is come out of the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty, which allows us to build intermediate range conventional ballistic and cruise missiles that we can then very cheaply and efficiently place in the region in order to create a deterrent. So what we're trying to do is prevent war using a lot of the same strategies we were using with the Soviet Union during the Cold War.
Well, we've got to push back on them, and also, meanwhile, North Korea continues to be problematic, and I'm not sure if we figured out if Kim Jong-un is dead or alive.
Well, I think he's clearly alive. You know, he's very much a showman. They have their propaganda, you know, capability is incredible, and this is all done to assure, in essence, you know, put them back on the map. So, been completely concocted by them. I think we should, you know, pay less attention to, you know, what's happening with regard to them. They just use it against us.
Well, maybe we need to revise President Reagan's mantra of instead of trust, we don't trust, but still verify, right?
Absolutely correct.
Brigadier General Robert Spalding has been with us. He's the author of the book Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. And it's linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. General, thank you for the time. Appreciate all the insight. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30-count bottle of Immune Booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Maybe not today.